Welcome to Manager Tools. Getting your goals from your boss. Part one, here we go. This cast answers these questions. What if I don't have clear goals for my boss? How do I find out how my boss is going to measure me? How can I help my boss set goals for me and my team? You want answers to these questions and more? Keep listening.
If your knowledge of DISC, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
Mark, you said this, I want to say a million times. It's probably not a million, but it's pretty darn close. The first rule of management is get results.
Yeah. If you've been to one of our conferences, we start off, our Effective Manager Conference, we start off talking about that. We're recording this in the first part of 2016. My book, The Effective Manager, comes out in the middle of this year, and it starts with that very same thing.
Surprise,
and what's sad
surprise.
About that? Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is I assumed kind of everybody knew that at some level. And so for several years, we did not talk about that. And then we realized that one of the reasons people struggled with one-on-ones or feedback or coaching or delegation is they didn't understand the derivation. They didn't understand what we started with and therefore the inevitability of you've got to do these behaviors and so on.
Right. And we may have led people down the wrong path inadvertently, of course, because in the very beginning of the podcast, we talked about relationships, right? And one-on-ones and developing relationships with your directs, which of course is important,
but in the service of results.
That's right. You can't get long-term results without relationships. You can get short-term results, but it's a different story.
Yeah. And even though you find out about that, you learn that, okay, my big job is results, you realize pretty quickly, oh, well, that creates a new problem for me. I have almost no idea what my boss thinks is the most important part of my job. I know what I'm working on today. I know that the organization can ask me to do anything. I know I feel whipsawed back and forth by various priorities, right? And, you know, my boss might have interest in six things, but which one does she think is most important? And frankly, for a lot of us, I think that we have a reasonable conclusion that we're not sure our boss will be able to tell us what they would measure us on. And the fact is, guys, I hate to tell you this, but in all of our experience, you're right. Your boss probably won't in many, many, many cases.
Right. And if your boss does, then consider yourself lucky that you're working for her, because it's somewhat unusual. Yeah.
If your boss has already done this with you, you're in single-digit percentages, folks. There are some jobs, sales, where it's pretty easy, but most other jobs, it's vague. And the reason why it's vague in many cases is managers don't know how to do it. Directors, VPs don't do it. They're like, oh, they should know. Oh, they're smart. They'll figure it out. But talk about a lack of alignment when we're all figuring it out, but we could have clear communications about it.
Yeah, so you get results. You just got the wrong results. Oops.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So I'd say the majority of folks probably don't have alignment on that. So how do I get it with the understanding that my boss may not actually know, as sad as that is?
Yeah. And so if you're listening, you're likely a manager. This cast, this guidance is for managers about your director and you, essentially. And at Manager Tools, we use the term director to mean its original intent, which is manager of managers. So a series of steps. First, do some background work. And we've got a long list of stuff that you need to do. Then we want you to do some preparation with that background work. Step three is you've got to understand your risk. If you don't have this information from your boss, having this conversation with your boss is not risk-free. And so it could be entirely possible that you'll do the work and you will have to make the decision, I don't feel comfortable talking to my boss about this. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And then in terms of the actual meeting with your boss. You're going to request some time with your boss. You're not going to do it blindly. You're going to tell him or her what you're doing and why you're doing it. You're going to have to send some advanced materials. You're going to have to ask for help rather than answers, because if your boss doesn't know and you ask her for answers, she's going to feel defensive. And frankly, guys, based on our experience, having had hundreds of managers follow this guidance, you should expect some lack of clarity back from your boss. You'll probably end the process with more clarity than you started with, but if you're wanting crystal clarity, 100% alignment, that's a pipe dream. It won't happen.
Okay. Now, I'm surprised by your first one. Do some background work. You know, to me, it seems pretty easy, right? I just send an email to my boss, say, hey, could you outline my goals and objectives and priorities and all that? I mean, clearly she knows what they are, so why not just do that? Seems like I mean, if I wrote this podcast, it'd be, just send an email to your boss. There you go.
Yeah. Well, the ultimate encapsulation of the vagueness of clear measures and goals and accountabilities and so on is the annual review process. Annual reviews, I could talk about them for hours. They're horrible almost everywhere. And part of the problem is the boss isn't clear. You know, if Mike's my boss and he's unclear about what he's measuring me on, or he's unclear what the standards are, of course, I'm certainly less clear than he is because he has a better perspective. But if he's unclear about it, how great can he feel about the review he gives me at the end of the year? So part of the reason reviews don't work is the boss doesn't feel this incredible clarity. The boss may feel powerful enough to give you a ranking, but there's a part of your boss that is like, yeah, I don't really feel great about this. So the fact is, this information may very well exist in your organization and you may not be able to find it. But if you just send an email to your boss, you admit that you don't know something important about your job. And depending upon what kind of boss you have, that may be an issue. You imply that your boss knows, but he or she hasn't told you. And they may deep down know that they haven't told you, but they assume that it's become obvious to you. And the fact that you haven't sussed it out yourself is they can blame you for that. Or I'll tell you the thing that bugs them is you're making him do the work, right? Like, well, okay, come to my office. Let me walk you through it again. And you also send a message that you kind of owe me this and I'm not willing to work to get it or to figure it out for yourself. And all of that belies what we believe is the big one in many cases, is that you may be pointing out what probably would have been better left unsaid that your boss doesn't know either. Now, when I use the word know there, guys, if you're a director, for instance, you might say, wow, Mark just kind of insulted me. I don't mean that at all. There's a difference between having an understanding in your head about what your directs are doing. And there's a difference between that and telling each direct, here's what I want you to work on, here's what the measures are, and here's what the goals are. That is the hard work of managing, of organizational structure and turning it into goal alignment and repeatable metrics and so on.
Right. That is kind of like the difference between knowing something in the general sense, right? Knowing something and being able to teach something.
Exactly.
Until you teach it, you really don't know. You don't know it. Just think about the number of times somebody said, well, can you teach me how to do X? So, oh, I know how to do that. And then I go to teach him how to do it. It's like, no, I guess I don't know it.
Exactly. I've had that happen to me many times with directs who were gifted in an area that I wasn't. I said, hey, explain to me how you do that. They're like, well, I don't know how. And if you can't explain how you do something to somebody else, the organization's not going to consider that really important in some ways, because, of course, it's not sustainable, it's not repeatable, it's not teachable. One of my favorite sayings by one of my favorite writers is, you cannot think what you cannot say. Meaning, if you have a thought in your head, but you are unable to communicate it, that thought is really of little value in the here and now in the organizational world.
And it's probably not a great thought because it's probably not detailed. You don't understand enough detail to explain it. It's probably not well thought through in the first place.
Yeah. This has happened to both of us, right? You're like, oh, I got that. And then you start explaining it. And it happened. We're talking about work and we're like, okay, let me start over and go back up a couple
of
levels. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I think I've said that before. Yeah. After 5 minutes,
I'll call you back later after I have my ducks in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
So guys, our first bit of guidance here about prep work is go ahead and take it slow. Okay. If you're listening to this cast and you're saying, wow, it occurs to me, I don't have a good feel for what I'm going to be held accountable for at the end of the year. And you're saying, ah, you know, let me get this done. Let me knock this out. It wouldn't bother me at all if you took a month. Okay. Assume for now that you won't need your boss's input. Okay. Assume as you go through the guidance we're about to give you in terms of gathering data, preparatory stuff, assume that there's a way for you to figure out the answer to your question before you ever have to ask your boss. Yeah, sure. You can ask your boss if you can't nail it down yourself. But for now, don't involve your boss. Do it yourself. Assume you'll be able to figure it out. And then at the very end, when you have a look and you say, okay, how would I measure this? You may have 95% of it. And particularly if your relationship with your director boss is not that great, don't fall on your sword or create a political problem or a sensitivity problem between you and your director boss for that last 5%. Don't do it. If you've got 95% of it done and you present that all to your boss and you don't have a good relationship with your boss might stupidly think that you're trying to show him up and you're trying to game the system by saying, this is what I want you to measure me on. And there are bosses in the world, like it or not, they're probably not listening to manager tools. You could argue that in some ways they're professionally unethical that would use this against you. That would say, this is just him trying to get what he wants rather than being a team player. So now I'm going to say perhaps the most important concept in this entire cast. And by the way, this concept applies to virtually everything we do all the time at work. Okay. To help you as you go through this process, think of the effort you're going to go through as having three parts, three separate parts that each one has its own way of thinking about it. Part one is the work you do. Part two is how you're going to measure that work. And part three is the standards within those measures for your performance. Okay? This is where people get confused. They really get confused between the second and third parts. Look, you should be able to get a pretty good handle on what it is you work on. There's plenty of available data there, you know. Heck, I tell people all the time, if you want to know what you work on, go through your email. People complain about email all the time, but man, it's a treasure trove. Okay, how to measure it gets a little bit harder. Sometimes you'll have to guess a little bit. You probably don't have to guess. We're going to give you enough data that you're going to know what it is you work on. But how to measure it gets a little bit harder. And in fact, there are plenty of directors, and in fact, plenty of you who are managers who are listening, who are thinking about your individual contributors, and you don't have clear measures for them if they listened to this cast and then came to you later and said, here's what I think you ought to be measuring me on. And lastly, the standards for your performance will probably be a complete guess. So we're going to start with this. There are three things we ultimately want to get out of this process, but don't worry that you don't know what the standard is that your boss is going to apply, because he or she may not know it either. I mean, seriously. But I want you to think of it this way. As an example, if I'm in geometry class, okay, the work I'm doing is geometry problems. I remember geometry very well. I'm doing math problems, okay? How to measure it is how many problems I get right and wrong. Is the problem right or wrong? Because there's a problem and there's a way to prove it. And if you prove it, you're right. And if you can't prove it, you're wrong in proving theorems and so on. So the standard is how you're going to be graded for that work. Okay. In order to have a standard, 90% as an example, there has to be a measurement factor. In this case, it's whether your answers are right or wrong, and then how many of them you do. But you could actually create the measure, is it right or wrong, and how many did you get right or wrong, and still not understand the standard that your boss is applying. And you may be doing work and literally not know how it's being measured, when in fact the measures may be all around you, and we hope to find that during this process.
Yeah, and in this example, if I were your geometry teacher, and you outline those measures and standards, I might say, hey, that's good. Except the other factor is how much time it takes you.
Okay, good. Right? Now, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, this is interesting because now you've brought up the situation where I have a 10-question geometry test and I only finish one of the answers. the geometry test is set with a time limit so that we don't have to measure how long it takes you. If you don't finish it, it's wrong, right? So the measure of right and wrong already includes inherent in it the time factor, because if you only get one right, but it takes you 10 times as long as everybody else, you're going to get a 10% on the test.
That's right.
Which probably would be failing. At work, though, Mike, now you're talking about time, and look, we're going to get to it, guys, but there's a little bit of foreshadowing here. If you're not thinking about people and resources, which tend to be money and time, and quality, you may have some good ideas, but those have to be considered somehow in your measures, generally speaking. People, resources, and quality. And resources, again, off the top, we're not going to go into all the different resources you have, are money and time. One of which, by the way, is renewable and the other of which is not.
So therefore, one of them is probably more important than the other. Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Just saying. Okay. And of course, everybody's thinking money when we think it's time. Okay. So with that in mind, just keep that in the back of your mind, guys. There's three parts. There's the work, there's the measures, and the standards. You're going to be able to figure out the work through this process. You're probably going to have a pretty good sense of the measures. If you don't know what the standards are, that's okay. You probably, like many, many people in the world, and they find out what the standards are when the boss writes the review at the end of the year. Actually, no, they don't find out the standards. They suppose the standards, they guess the standards, they infer the standards from the generic sort of vague cloud of feedback that the boss gives them. Part of the reason, guys, that performance reviews at the end of the year are frustrating is you would like information about your performance, not to say that you shouldn't have had it daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly beforehand, but it ends up being, when companies say it ends up being largely about your pay, that's because that's a measure. And managers say all the time, well, really what they want to know about is pay. And I think, in fact, we talk about that in our four-part series from 11 years ago about how to prepare, how to write, and how to deliver a performance review. We talk about pay being on the front of everybody's mind. Part of that is because the process is so horrible. It's the only thing we can get a measure on. Everything else is kind of vague, which, again, is a function of lack of clarity of what your job is. I'm going on and on and on, Mike. Shall we get to the data gathering?
Yeah, so we got to gather some data. There's some sources of data that are worth considering.
Some of them are obvious, some of them aren't. Let's just walk through them. First one, job description. Folks, we know you probably don't have one as a manager, especially if you're a director. But if you do, it might be a good source of high-level deliverables for your role.
Right. Even if it's not completely accurate, right? If it's
No. Yeah. Right? None of these resources that we're going to mine are going to be completely accurate. Some of them are going to be contradictory.
Yeah, wildly inaccurate.
Yeah. And that's okay. But if we have a full page job description and there are two key nuggets we get out of it, I'm fine with that. I am not saying I'm looking for the Holy Grail. I'm not. I'm looking for data. I'm just gathering data. That's all I'm doing. I'm not looking for answers. I'm just gathering data. If you start looking for answers, you'll start getting frustrated and you'll start fixating on good pieces of data, which you then imbue with the idea that that's an answer, and that then affects the rest of your work. There are two parts of data gathering or information gathering. One is you gather the information and then you think about it afterwards. Stay in neutral as you're gathering the data. Of course, your brain is working subconsciously and already getting way ahead of you. But if you're not careful and you say, well, is this the answer? Oh, well, there's the answer right there. No, it's really not. You need to draw the whole picture before you draw specific conclusions.
Right. For those of you who understand DISC and you're a high C, you want accuracy, dot your I's, cross your T's.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That, you got to put that in neutral because the standard here is not accuracy so much as it is quantity, right? You want a big pile of data and then you go through the data. That's the standard, quantity.
And if you're thinking that what you need to do for your boss is give her 99% of what she needs, you're never going to get that. I mean, you might get lucky, but the chances, you know, we'll have a million people listen to this this guidance this month, I would be very surprised if more than 100 people could get to 99%. I think the vast majority of people listening, 70 or 80%, will get to 50%. And 50% is fine in terms of understanding the complexity, the completeness of your job. And your job at the end, your boss may say, you know what, this is good enough, and we'll use this for now, and we'll adjust every year or every 6 months on this. And your boss may accept 50%. If you grind trying to go from 50 to 80% in terms of the data you collect and so on, you're probably past the point of diminishing returns. So, first point about job descriptions, just because you've never seen a job description for your role doesn't mean there isn't one. You can probably just email somebody in HR. If there is one for your job, HR is the most likely place to have it. If they can't find it, though, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But if they can't find it, it may not be worth the trouble. If you have a really good relationship with your boss and you don't think she'll think something's up, you could ask her. I mean, if one of my directs said, hey, can I see my job description? I'm like, sure, it's fine. I don't care. But that comes from trust. If you don't have trust like that with your boss, don't do it. If you find one for your role, read through it. Make some notes for anything that you think will be helpful in putting together a metrics and a standards sheet. Start a list somewhere of what you learn from each of the sources we've discussed here. It were me, I learned this from Mike, I'd probably use OmniFocus, and I'd just create a list. Mike, you would probably use Evernote. There are plenty of people who would use pads of paper, and that would be fine. After you look for the job description, now we want to recommend you look for a virtual job description, which is to say there isn't actually something you look for. But if you can't find a job description, you can create a rough estimate of one by answering some questions that we've put out. People ask us for these questions all the time. A series of questions that should give you a broad perspective on the job. And here they are.
Pay attention, folks. This is gold right here. When I read the show notes, I was like, this is good.
If you're a licensee, easy, just download the show notes and you've got a list right here. The reason the company created this job is blank, okay? The most important ways a person doing this job should spend their time are blank. The 2 to 3 most important duties of this job are blank. What this job takes to be successful is blank. The simplest, easiest way to see if this job is being done well is blank. Okay? And again, you're gathering data. This data is coming out of your head, and you probably don't think about these questions on a daily or weekly or ever basis because you're down in the weeds getting work done. This is actually metadata about your work. But when you ask yourself, you're probably a pretty good source of the work that you do. Next, ask your peers. Maybe they have a job description, assuming that some of your peers are somehow related to what it is you do. Or even if they don't, if you work on a team where all of your work has to be aggregated in some way in order to provide value to your boss, as opposed to, say, a bunch of sales managers whose work stands alone. My work doesn't need to be added in some work function to another sales manager's role, so that there is value created. I create work and value independent of the sales manager who is my peer. But even if your peer and your work is different and it gets aggregated in some way, what they get evaluated upon may be insightful, helpful, may shine a bit of a light indirectly on what it is you do.
That's right. And you might have common responsibilities in terms of development of your people, et cetera.
Exactly. And they might have a job description. They might also have asked your boss previously to define their role, to define their metrics and the standards.
Just last week.
Yeah. Or they might have done it this way, or maybe they just threw something together. Okay. So you could say to them, hey, I'm trying to get clear on what my goals are. Do you have anything in the realm of a job description for our roles? Previous guidance from the boss, your own list of key metrics, anything like that. And again, add that stuff to the list you've started. Anything that you think seems relevant out of the discussion you have with each of your peers. Next, review your last performance review. Since the one time any overall goals that you're going to be held accountable for would by definition be at your annual review, it's worth checking. A lot of us spend so much time worrying about surprises and next year's compensation that we tend to tune out a lot of other stuff. And it may actually have been written down, but in our heads, we were just saying, what's my overall rating and how big a raise did I get? Your metrics may be on your review in some fashion, or at least be able to be recalled from the conversation you had, particularly if you're doing this in the first quarter of the year. It sounds weird, but if you've updated your resume briefly every quarter, making it a living career management document per our guidance, there may be some accomplishments on there worth adding to your list. And lots of times, important accomplishments are pointers to key metrics. And accomplishments are sometimes a bit random over the course of the year. But if you have a lot of them, look for themes. Do they always involve customers? Do they always have a cost control component? Maybe one of the key deliverables is actually efficient project management. Capture on your list what seems relevant. Now we're going to get into an interesting area. Check recent job advertisements. Look at the ad that was for your opening, the job you're in now, if you're new.
Yeah, and if you go look and you find a job description or a job posting for your job, then that's useful information to know too. Just saying.
Dude, that's dark. If you've been in your role for a while and so the job ad is gone, see if there are recent ads for some of your peers. You've probably already gotten some simple ideas from the work you've already done, and there may not be much there. But if something is in there that you don't do, don't think about it. Make a note about it. If your boss does one-on-ones with you, go back through your notes. Look for patterns about what your boss is most interested in. And folks, use this step, the one-on-one step, as a more general reminder to ask yourself about the things your boss pays attention to on a regular basis, even if it's outside of one-on-ones, especially if your boss doesn't do one-on-ones with you. What do you get praised for? What does your boss ask for status of about the most? What does she get stressed about? What do you get in trouble for? It's one of my favorites. And I think if you ask my directs now, the thing they get in trouble for is not communicating. Now, that's just me. We don't have job descriptions yet at Manager Tools. But, you know, I tell people all the time, it's all about people. And the people are known in my organization. And then more communication is better. I just had a conversation yesterday with one of my directs. They found out something and they thought that was interesting, but they didn't share it with me. Now, I don't need to know everything they know, but they didn't realize, though they should have, that me knowing that, because it wasn't related to what they do, but it was related to something that I do, that me knowing that would have saved me a bunch of time. And they found out about it randomly and they thought it was interesting and they thought about it, but they didn't think to communicate about it. And as a general rule, for me anyway, if you think something's interesting, you ought to be sharing it. Everybody else who hears it from you can ignore it. Oh, that's interesting to her, but not to me. Fine. But for me, communication is really important. So my directs would probably say, I need to write down communication here. I don't know that it would go on my ultimate list. I don't know how Mark measures it, but I got to put down communication because when I get in trouble, it seems like it's because I didn't tell him or somebody else something.
Can we modify that rule a little bit about if it's interesting, tell your boss? I mean, if it's interesting and it's not about puppies and rainbows and you don't need to share that with me. In case my directs are listening, you don't need to share that with me.
I will say this, though. I have learned that if I say to somebody, if it's interesting, I want to know it, except if it's these things, I've essentially killed it. It's why we say, I had this conversation yesterday at a client. I agree with you, Mike. Personally, I would prefer to only hear about stuff that I want to know about. But the moment you start giving caveats, you start putting ideas in their head. Oh, should I give this or not?
Right. And they start wondering whether or not this is really the right type of interesting thing. Right. It's kind of like one-on-ones, right?
It's like one-on-ones. You don't tell directs, hey, we can talk about anything as long as it's about work and things that you think I need to know. No, that's the whole point. That's damaging to their relationship. You've got to tell people you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, including puppies and rainbows.
This management stuff is so hard.
I know. Why doesn't everybody think just like you? It would be so much easier for you if everything was just, you know, everybody just did stuff just like you. And really, if you think about this a little bit, when we say getting in trouble, we don't mean if you miss deadlines a lot on a broad range of topics and projects like timesheets, weekly reports, answers to email, and your boss has to remind you, okay? If you miss a lot of deadlines on stuff like that, it's unlikely that one of your job's key goals is getting everything in on time, even if your boss has a focus on timeliness on everything. What we're looking for here are areas that your boss pays more attention to. If your boss is always asking you for status on Project X and drills down for details when you're red on a task, and he also lets slide late time cards or expense reimbursement requests, the thing to capture is Project X. Okay? So we're looking for behaviors, not because those behaviors are the key, but rather that they point to things that would be important relative to your metrics and your standards. Next, check your email and calendar. Just scan through them. You don't have to read every email. Just scan them. Look for reminders of projects that cropped up. And if you want more detailed guidance about this, we always get in trouble for repeating ourselves. If you look at our annual reviews cast, if you listen to that guidance, we give you a detailed way to go through your emails. But again, you don't have to scan them. Look for reminders of projects that cropped up, short-term efforts that you may have forgotten that point toward a theme for your role in some fashion. Add them to your list. Look for meetings on your calendar that are a reminder of major projects forgotten, additional duties that may have been important, so on. Now, we've done all this, and I can promise you folks, this list that you've come up with isn't exhaustive for everybody.
It's a pretty big start, though.
But yeah, exactly. And it's possible that you'll be able to come up with a pretty good idea of what your boss ought to be expecting you to do. And that's all you need in terms of this work.
All right, so let's end it here. We've gone long enough for this week and
I'm going to get some mail about me going too long.
Yeah, I know, and my inane jokes and trying to keep it funny. And that's the advantage of becoming a licensee, that like subtle ad right here, right? And getting the show notes, and then you don't have to listen to Mike at all.
You don't have to listen to Mark at all either. Yeah.
The inane jokes are not in the show notes, folks. They're not planned. They're just me being silly.
I tell people all the time, if you don't want to listen, become a licensee. It's not expensive and it's valuable. I'll tell you that we had an iTunes review that Wendy shared with me saying, yeah, these guys talk too long. I wish they'd get the point. And I think out of like our 600 or 700 or 800 reviews on iTunes, 597 of them are good and 20 or 30 or so are bad. And I think there's a pretty clear vein of one of the hosts talk too much. I'm pretty sure they're talking about me. And Wendy said, I wonder if we should do anything about this. And I said, nope, never take counsel of your fears. And the vast majority of folks want more detail, more specificity. And we understand we're not for everybody. So if it was a little long, guys, we apologize. And there are other people who are writing and saying, thank you for the detail. Thank you for the specificity. You know, we don't want to become like so many management books out there that give you a high level guidance, but then don't tell you what to do. We'll always be down in the weeds. It takes a little bit longer, but we think that's what most managers want and need.
And we'll throw in an inane joke every once in a while. Sorry.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, my friend. We'll continue this next week.
Okay.
See you later.
You bet, partner.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll continue on this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.
This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.